Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Potted Together podcast. My name is Adam and I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Becca, Becca's spawn, and Nicole, Nora. I mean, I don't know why I feel like I still can't say her name even though people know her name.
Yes, the Dayla spawn.
It was engraved in my head too, like, be careful, be careful, be careful, like, not to say it
for
so long. So I feel like, because we knew so early on that she was even pregnant and no one knew for months.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So it was just like this constant fear of fucking up, you know?
That must have been so stressful for you guys.
Oh, no. I mean, it's whatever. But I think that's probably why you still do that.
Yeah, you're really selfish, Becca, that you were like, I'm struggling so hard because we were really the ones struggling with having to keep a secret.
Facts.
Oh, I puke every time I open my mouth. Have you ever tried to keep a secret for 6 months? No.
Oh my gosh. Hey, you know, you're right. You're right. I'll give you that. I did have it harder, but I'm trying to be nice. Just kidding.
All right, friends. Today is our last episode of The Plants That Kill. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's up to me, and I'm hoping this isn't going to go longer than an hour, because your boy got a little wordy with my script.
Oh, I like it.
It was like I was writing a paper again.
Oh my gosh.
That kind of looks like my notes. I had a lot of notes, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. It is fun, though. It is fun. Part of me is like, oh, I wonder if this could be like an entire series podcast for like this specific
case
that we're going to talk about today.
Oh, this specific case. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, exciting.
But if you know, you know, we do our catch-ups. We talk about our weeks because we're friends and then we get into the episode. But right now we're going to catch up. So
yeah.
Who wants Nicole?
Yeah, hi.
You know, what's been going on? We didn't record last week, so we've had a break.
Yeah, we've had a break. Let me pull up my calendar. Hold on. Let me see what I did.
Pull up the calendar. Figure it out.
Okay, so we didn't record last week. Last week was weird because I had a wedding on Thursday, and that's why we didn't record. And I never have weddings on Thursdays, but this year I have two. When I tell you that, like, it threw me off, like, I'm not even joking. The whole weekend, I thought it was a day ahead than it was. And
yeah,
I had three weddings this weekend. So by Sunday, which I went to go see the Eras Tour film, which was fantastic, I was exhausted. Not to mention, I'm also suffering from like a little coldy cold.
Mm-hmm.
I've convinced myself it's COVID, but three tests in, it's not. But yeah, so like it was an exhausting weekend, but that was my last 3 day, like 3 days in a row that I've had weddings for this year. So like now I'm done. I only have like two weddings a weekend, one wedding a weekend until like Thanksgiving. And then it slows down a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Thursday weddings.
Yeah.
Is that because it's a lot cheaper? I mean, honestly, because vibes.
Honestly, that's what I was thinking. But they didn't give me that vibe, that like trying to save money, get married on a Thursday vibe. Like sometimes people have a vibe and that's not what I was getting from them. So I don't know, like the venue that they had their wedding at is a very popular venue and they're usually booked out for like a year and a half out. So my thought is that they just wanted to get married and that's all that was available. So they took it.
Yeah.
Is it usually a smaller affair or is it like was it a large wedding? Like full
It wasn't that big, but it wasn't that small. Like there was like 80 to 90 guests ish, which I feel is kind of average for that space at that venue. But like, how weird to be a guest at a Thursday wedding. Like, it would just throw me off because you got to go to work the next day. Well, most people would, unless you're taking off and then good for you. You got a 4-day weekend, but.
Well, 5-day if you have attended the wedding.
Well, true. But also it rained all weekend. So it just kind of made the day drag because we really couldn't go outside for photos. Some days we were able to sneak out for a few photos before it started drizzling again. I had a wedding on Saturday that was in the backyard of like the bride's parents' house, and mid ceremony, we had to pass them umbrellas. It was so cute, but I felt so bad because like it hadn't rained for like 2 hours before the ceremony. And then all of a sudden they're standing out there and it starts raining.
Oh no.
I know.
That's supposed to be good luck, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. But that's really all that's been going on. I've just been working a lot, so I'm kind of boring on my update today. Like, I don't have a ton going on.
Well, okay. I'm going to call bullshit on this.
Okay, why?
Because, I mean, I try to think about, like, what I've seen on your Instagram, but there was, like, you know, an apple orchard or something.
Okay, so, yeah. The day after homecoming, we went to this... Yeah, apple orchard. We did apple picking. It was me, another mom, and like Mia and her friend. And that was fun. That was nice. But it was also like after a pretty busy weekend because I had weddings, homecoming. Mm-hmm. But it was nice. It was fun.
So homecoming game is on Friday for you. And then the dance was on Saturday?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. See, our dance is always after the game, which is weird.
Yeah. So that's why I thought it was when she started school. But no, it's the next day because some like the freshman and sophomore teams play on Saturday morning. Like they have their homecoming game on Saturday morning.
Really? On Saturday morning? We used to do JV and freshman on Thursdays.
Okay.
Saturday. Wow. It's like Pee Wee.
Yeah. It's Friday night for JV and varsity, and then Saturday mornings for freshmen, sophomores.
Okay. See, I think our freshman was always like Thursday, and then JV and varsity was Friday.
I mean, that would make sense because games in the morning. No,
thank
you. I'm not going. Sorry.
What is this? Soccer practice for your 6-year-old?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, so like my calendar has been packed with stuff like that, but I don't know. I felt like I've crammed so much into this month, and I was supposed to be in Missouri right now, but I couldn't go because I'm feeling sicky poo. I didn't want to get that little baby Nora sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sad face.
Sad.
I know. So I stayed home and I spent all day on the couch yesterday watching scary movies. I was like, Listen, I'm not going to be productive today. This is going to be a day. I made the conscious choice to sit my ass on the couch all day and watch movies. And I did that. I think my body needed it.
Yeah.
So.
It probably did. Like, which ones did you watch? Because I saw there's Michael Myers on your screen, wasn't there?
Well, he might have been on the screen, but I didn't watch Halloween yesterday. I watched The Stepfather 1 and 2. The classic Stepfather, not the remake. With Penn Badgley. I can never say his last name. Stepfather 1 and 2, Carrie, the remake Carrie, because it's good.
Who's the actress in the remake Carrie? Is that?
It's the girl from, oh God, I gotta look it up. I can't think of her name.
Is it the one that was like dating a Beckham at one point? Chloe Grace Moritz, Chloe?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And the mom is Julianne Moore.
Oh,
it's a good remake. Like they did a good job with that remake. I like it a lot. Then what else did I watch? I watched Jaws.
It's a good one.
Which is a very good one. What was I watching at night though? The heck did I watch? I already forgot. Oh, and then I fell asleep watching Spiral with Chris Rock, the Saw, like from the Saw collection, if you've seen the Saws. No. They're pretty gross. Like, they're just...
I saw the first Saw movie, and maybe the second and the third, but, like, when I haven't seen... you know, yeah. 4 through 18.
There's so many.
There's so many. But the one with Chris Rock, it came out a few years ago, and I've been wanting to see it, and it was free on Prime, I think. So I was like, ooh, let me watch this. And it was actually pretty good. Disgusting, but it was pretty good. Like, it had a good story. And then today, before we started recording, I was watching Paranormal Activity 4, which I love all of the Paranormal Activities. Little tidbit about me.
That is my no. No,
I love them. They're so good. They did a good job at, like, making it look like it was real, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It was really happening.
I mean, it's...
I thought it was real.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So the first one that came out...
You got the grumpy cat face.
The first Paranormal Activity, in the beginning, they're like, thank you to the families of so-and-so for sharing the footage, blah, blah, blah. So, like, everybody thought that they were real. Like, it was real footage. They just released it. They made it into a movie. But then they do press, and then the people that died are doing press. You know what I mean? So, like, everybody thought it was real.
Oh, my God. You're so right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm naive. Yeah, I didn't look into press. And when that movie came out, I was in high school.
Nicole's way of being like, don't be stupid. No, I'm just kidding.
It's true, though. No,
but they did a good job at that. Like, a lot of people thought, just like Blair Witch Project, everybody thought that shit was so real when it first came out. Dude. It was terrifying.
I still struggle with camping because of the scene in Blair Witch Project.
I have not seen it probably since I was in high school.
Oh.
So I don't even remember it, really. I mean, like, I remember, like, the up close, like, you could see down her nostrils.
The part. Dripping snot, yeah.
Yeah.
So this begs the question, when you watch a movie like that, when you spend all day watching a movie, like, are you... See, because this is where I wonder that my attention span, given social media and short form content, has completely and drastically changed, because... We used to sit down and watch TV, movies, no interruptions. Like, that's what you're focused on. Now when I do that, I'm constantly, like, picking up my phone.
Me too. So, I posted on Instagram before I started my first movie. And I think I said, like, let's see how long before I pick up my phone or something like that, you know? Because it's true, like especially with movies I've seen before... Like, forget it. Like, I could be on TikTok for a half an hour during the movie. I'm not even watching it. But yesterday, I really wanted to just, like, watch a movie again, you know? Like, and then at night when I went to sleep, I was like, I'm gonna put my phone down and, like, not be on it. And I wasn't. Like, I looked at it before I went to sleep, but, like, I watched the whole movie and I was pretty proud of myself. Or, like, stuff with commercials. Like, as soon as a commercial comes on, I'm grabbing my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I can't sit through a commercial, but I could watch an ad on TikTok, you know? Like, why is that? It is annoying. I don't like it.
All right. Well, we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're back. And now we're ready to listen to Becca's catch up. Find out what's going on with you.
Yeah.
In the life of Becca.
Oh, what isn't going on in the life of Becca? Yeah, I mean, well, you know, transparently, today was a bit of a hard day in the life of a working stay-at-home mom. You know, I feel like the last couple, the text that I sent you guys, like, I did, like, select all to delete it, like, at least 4 times, and then I was like, you know what, like...
Oh, I'm like, glad you didn't.
Yeah. Me too. I sent them, like, word vomit. Everything that's been on my mind for the last month, that like
it had no punctuation. It was just
like a block of text.
It was a block of run-on sentence.
Yeah,
it was perfect.
One of those. But yeah, I mean, transparently, I think everybody saw this coming. But as you do with any new parent or new life transition, it's been hard. Like the last couple of weeks, particularly, I feel it's hard again. Like there was a moment where I was like, "Oh, this is good. I feel like I could do this." And then, you know, I feel like I'm kind of back to square one, but it's just hard, like, having to maintain everything that I had going on before while also having Nora and, like, the guilt of, like, being frustrated for not being able to work and, like, do things that I want to do, you know, just, like, all of those things. And I don't ever want to sound like I'm ungrateful, obviously. I think I just worry to talk about it because I don't want to be insensitive, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's Infertility Awareness Week. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just like hyper aware, and like I don't want to say anything that would like trigger someone or hurt someone's feelings or like make them feel any type of way. But it is definitely difficult right now, and I'm really thankful, obviously, to be in this position. But it has come with like a number of things and challenges and struggles that, like, you know, I could talk about it online and like glaze over it, but I'm not gonna like go into all of the details because I don't even know if I fully have it all fleshed out. But mm-hmm. it's just hard. I'm balancing like guilt and stress all the time, basically. But
yeah,
I'm trying to have some semblance of normalcy and like see friends and do things that I like to do still when I can. And I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. It's not like the happiest update. I mean, I'm just having a bad day today.
Yeah.
But
bringing the real.
So yeah, I don't have like a happy flower to put on top of that. But basically, yeah, we've been spending a lot of our afternoons outside, and that's been nice because the weather's great. And
yeah,
oh my gosh, I love seeing it. I mean. Yeah, not to flex, but I'm on the close friends list.
Me too.
You introducing Nora to the grass. I was like, that's so cute. I know. Immediately put it in her mouth.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we all did that.
Yeah.
Hence why we love green so much.
Exactly. Yeah. I took her. I've been taking her outside and like we like lay on a blanket outside and just like look up. And there's so much to look at out there. So she's like super stimulated. And it's just cute to see her, like, look around at everything. And, like, we've been out there for so long that we, like, both fall asleep. Like, I don't know. It's just nice to have that. And I'm going to miss it over wintertime. Although I do still want to be outside in the wintertime, but just, like, bundle up really big. Because, you know, if you dress for it, it's not that bad. And we don't have harsh winters here. Yeah. So.
Oh. She's going to look like a little starfish.
I know.
I love when babies are all bundled up in the winter.
It's going to be like the Christmas story.
Yeah, I can't put your arms down. Have you bought her a snowsuit yet? Or like
not yet.
A full one piece?
No, I was looking, but I didn't see any in stores yet. And they might not even sell them here just based on the weather.
Maybe,
but
yeah.
If we are outside for extended periods of time, I would want to get her one just because I think that would make me feel better because it's so hard to know what their body temperature is. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, you can like feel their like chest and their back or whatever and get a good idea, but they can't tell you. So just it's hard. It's like a dog, you know, but more stressful. So, yeah, I did look on like, well, you know, there's the really expensive ones like the baby Patagonia stuff. I'm like, she's literally gonna wear this for like 2 months, so I just cannot imagine spending like $200 on that, so I won't. But
what about like secondhand, like from Facebook Marketplace or something?
I'm gonna do that. We also have a Once Upon a Child, and I feel like that would sell out really fast, but I'm still gonna try and get it. I'm definitely gonna get her one, but not full price.
I feel like baby clothes are the best things to get secondhand. And a lot of people, like when I was pregnant with Mia, we would go to garage sales. Like me and my mom would hunt down garage sales and like buy everything for like super cheap because it's something that the baby's not going to wear, like you said, more than a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And then they grow out of it. So like it's the most least used clothes, if that makes any sense. Yeah. But then like, I felt like some of the people like in my immediate circle were kind of like, oh, don't you want new things? Like, oh, you're putting that on your baby. And it's like, do you have a washing machine? Like, I don't understand. Like, what's, I don't get it.
No, that's weird. I wear secondhand clothes for myself, like all the time.
Yeah.
And actually, I went out to, I've been like trying to go jeans shopping because, you know, it's getting chilly and I've got one pair of pre-pregnancy jeans that currently fit me, but I just have never liked those jeans.
That is an accomplishment, must I say.
It is. It's not the most comfortable, but like they fit. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But my like favorite pair of jeans still don't fit me and they might not ever fit me again and that's fine. But so I was like, I need to go shopping and normally I just thrift, but I was like, you know what? Okay, we're back to the, you know, 80s dad jeans that fit me really weird. And I look at myself in public in the mirror and I'm like, what the hell have I been wearing around? Okay. That moment has honestly scarred me. So I'm like, we're going to go get some new jeans. So I've been shopping around for like the last week and we went to like Dillard's because they have a Levi's section, but they only had like skinny jeans. Like it was only skinny jeans.
Weird. Because like, that's not even really in style.
Yeah. We're not going back there.
I know. Yeah. I was really surprised that they're still making them like in mass. So obviously nothing there worked. And then eventually I went to Target and I got some like jeans, some like wide leg jeans. Mm-hmm. And I feel pretty good about them, but I do need to alter them because they're too long. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time I've like bought jeans like firsthand in so long. And I remember I just don't like doing that. It's like jeans and swimsuits. Always a bad experience.
Yeah.
But it's just because, you know, we are so hard on ourselves. Or I'll speak for myself. I'm so hard on myself. And like, man, it just, especially postpartum, I'm like, you know, I don't need to buy my size and like squeeze into these jeans. Like I literally could just size up and they look good and that's fine. You know, like I've had to tell myself that a lot. Like it's fine. It's like literally not even a big deal. Like,
no.
Because every time you put them on, you're just being mean to yourself if they don't fit well, you know? Yep. So it's like a constant, just negative feeling, you know? Yeah. That's funny you said Target though, because the other day I did see a girl walking into Target in what I expect you were wearing when you said you looked at yourself in the mirror, because she had like these 90s very baggy jeans that were like seemingly tied together with a string, so it was all ripply around the top because they were way oversized, and I thought it was cute. So listen, I bet you looked cute.
But like Gen Z. Gen Z's
cute. Yeah, she was.
she was so Gen Z.
He was young.
Yeah. I feel like Gen Z is bringing back the 90s, like full force, full circle. It's coming back.
Absolutely.
Which I don't know how I feel about it. I'm not sure how I feel about it because I was always, okay, I never had like the skinniest waist in high school. And like the girls that rocked the baggy jeans with the little crop tops, which is very much a thing now, they had the skinny little waist. So I was always like a t-shirt baggy jeans kind of girl. So I went like the more hip hop route. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I feel like I can't do that. I have a couple pairs of baggier jeans that I feel like are really cute, but they always have this weird ass bulge in the front. And I look like I have a literal penis. So like, I don't know. I don't like baggy jeans. Like I'm really trying to work on liking them.
Yeah.
But I just can't.
It's so hard with clothing trends because, like, I finally got used to skinny jeans. I'm like, okay, we're doing this. And then I got used to, like, the mom jean, like, a little bit looser fit but still, like, kind of skinny. And now it's, like, not bell bottoms but just wide leg all the way down.
Right.
Which I do feel like as a pear-shaped person that works for me a lot better than skinny jeans. But it's just, like, I don't know. It's hard to keep up with all this shit. Like, I don't know. Once I get used to these wide leg, and now it's going to be bell bottoms, really fitted through the thighs and flare out. I mean, I think God, some people
would never
wear bell bottoms. Yeah.
Yes. So,
yeah.
It is hard to keep up with the trends, and that's why I like just making my own clothes because I literally just like make it exactly how I want. Like,
have you ever made a pair of jeans?
No, but this like process sewn your own? Yeah, this process is making me want to. Because my local Joanne sells like really nice denim. Like I think it's like Wrangler or not Wrangler. Maybe it's Levi's. I don't remember. It's like a brand. It's their denim, which it's always hard to find good like thick denim at the fabric store. And they sell like the really thin denim. And I'm like, I don't want that. I want like non-stretch, like 100% cotton, you know, like the thick stuff.
Right.
Anyway, so I have considered it. But jeans are really intricate and like hard. So yeah. It's intimidating to say the least, but I do think probably right now would be the best time if ever because I have some like interesting proportions that I don't normally have. So I don't know. I can like alter them later or maybe I won't alter them. I mean, yeah, right now I'm like, is this just what I look like now? And that's that's possible. And again, that's fine, but it's just something to get used to.
Right.
But anyway, that's kind of me, what I've been. It's on my mind lately.
I mean, you got a pair of jeans. Bravo.
Yeah, I got three.
But oh, three.
Yeah, because they were like $30. I'm like, oh my God, that's so cheap for jeans.
So it is. Yeah.
I got them. And then also I got them knowing that I like the fabric and I like the general shape, so I can switch them up if I want later on to keep wearing them after this. So I'm happy with my purchases.
I feel like you only need a solid two or three pairs of jeans, like total, you know?
I agree.
You're not washing them very frequently. They go with anything. Yeah, you can really cycle them out.
I think everybody needs a good pair of light wash and dark wash. And if you don't even like dark, light wash, some people don't like light wash. I don't really gravitate towards light wash, but like, let's say medium wash and dark wash. And that's it. Because it's like, I don't know. So, but some like influencer closets I see, they have like 80 pairs of jeans. I'm like, how did, number one, how did you find that many pairs of jeans that you like on yourself?
Yeah, exactly. And when are you wearing them? Like, what?
I know. Yeah.
I never wear the same jeans 2 days in a row.
Not relatable.
Oh, gosh. Have you guys, do you guys shop or have you ever shopped at Madewell? Is that like a good brand? I mean, I know they have like, they the stores are a vibe. But I didn't know. I know they like focus on jeans and like well-fitting jeans, but I didn't know.
Mia did a pop-up there for her stickers in the one in downtown Chicago. And it's so cute. She got a sweater from there. And I actually thrifted a t-shirt from Madewell. And it's like one of my favorite t-shirts. It's Madewell.
It's made very well. No, I do really like Madewell. Although I've never had any jeans from there. But that's a good idea. There's a Madewell in Tucson. I think when I visit, I might go to do some shopping. But my favorite pair of jeans are from this company based out of Tennessee called Imogen and Willie. Or Imogen and Willie. Sorry, I've said that super weird. And they're very expensive. And those are my favorite jeans. I hope I fit into again someday. Because I was looking online to see if I could get another pair, and they're like $300. I'm like, did I spend that much on jeans? Like, I don't remember. I was reckless, you know?
You got it off the clearance. They had a clearance rack, and you
Here's the thing.
But I wore them like every day.
I have jeans from like my last year of college still. Maybe one pair that I was like, I hope one day I'll fit back into this. I'm not going to fit back into it. All right. We've passed those days, but they're still in good condition. So like, yeah, you spend $300 on something, but if you're doing like the capsule, the minimalist, like
cost per wear,
have those for 3 years. Like if you divide that by how many, like it's actually, you know, if it lasts and all of that.
Totally. So. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big advocate for, you know, investing if you can, if you have the money to do it. I mean, that's probably what I was thinking. But I mean, now if I want to buy another pair, I'm like, I don't think I can. But
that's a lot. Madewell is a little bit more expensive, too. But I want to say they're in like the $100 to $200 range.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So that's Denim Corner.
Denim 101.
Well, I got those new pants that I think I sent you guys that photo, right?
Was that a TikTok purchase?
No, I saw some like cute boy on Instagram. No, it was like some shop posted, like some coffee shop posted like something, but I saw these pants and I was like, I have to find those. So like I went and I asked my friends. I was like, we scoured the internet and finally I found them. It was from this. Well, I found the ones from this place called the Bronx. I was actually going to text or DM the coffee shop and be like, hey, could you ask that guy where he got his pants? But I'm glad I found them.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you just ask him? But I guess if it wasn't like just some random guy, I guess that's.
Yeah. So it was from Bronson Manufacturing Company, but they were British Army Gurkha Bermuda pants.
That's a mouthful.
And they're cotton. So then I was like, when I looked at it, it said like made from a 1942 pattern. And I was like,
And then I had
the thought again of like, maybe I should learn how to make clothes. But then.
Yeah.
It just has the time.
Adam, menswear is so fun. I think you would love it. I really do.
But it's not these aren't slimming. Well, they are slimming as far as like it made me look slim, but they're not slimming. They're like the wide leg. It's like straight. There's no like shape to them. So I was like, that couldn't be too hard.
But you look really good in them though.
And I think I'm going to order another pair. I'm going to order them in khaki because I got olive.
Mm-hmm. How much were they? Were they expensive?
No, $55.
Oh, that's not bad for men's pants. That's pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good.
I'm scrolling back.
But here's the situation. There is like a strap that goes like underneath and through and then buckles, and a strap that buckles on the other side. Uh-huh. It's hard to explain, but
taking them off to pee yesterday
when I was in IKEA. And I legitimately was like, if someone was next to me at this urinal, they would just think I was over here playing with myself, because it took me forever to get the equipment out to go pee. I was just like, oh my gosh, is this how girls feel when they wear rompers? Except yes. I'm not butt naked standing there.
Oh God, yes. It's the worst.
I can attest that yes, probably.
Or like a one.
Except yeah. You get the ones that have like, you get the ones with wide leg holes so you can just slide it over.
Oh yeah, you just hold it. Just hold it over. That's coordination, man.
It's like wearing a one-piece bathing suit. No one's taking that shit off. You just slide it over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, my week's been pretty good. We drove up to Flagstaff, to Flag, as the Arizonians call it.
Ooh, that's where sister wives are at.
Well, yeah, some of them. We drove up there to get a peek at fall. So that was fun.
Oh, nice.
And also, like, I'm slightly obsessed with aspen trees.
Oh.
Mostly because, like, aspen trees themselves, like, are unique to me because it's all, like, basically an underground system. Like, they're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's pretty neat to me. But anyway, they were all bright yellow and beautiful. So we took Mai Tai on a little trip up there, which was fun.
His little picture up on that little hike. Oh, he's such a cute little boy.
Then I was like traipsing with him through the woods because my friend Zach went with us. But then I had this thought of like, oh, there's probably bears here.
Oh,
and not like, not the guy that I'm dating, but actual like bears. So then I'm like,
And in this weather, they like this weather.
Yeah. So I turned very quickly around and was like, well, let's go back to the car. Cause I don't know. I just had this anxiety.
I would bears. Too. So I wonder if people that go hiking frequently, if they're bringing protection. Like, are you bringing a gun with you when you hike?
Probably.
Yeah, because, like, not only bears, but, like, jaguars.
Yeah.
You know?
All the animals.
All the cats. I'm good. Like, I would get chased because I wouldn't know what to do. I'd have a heart attack, probably.
But it was very fun. And then we went and ate at this place. It's like brewery in like downtown Flag. And they had a dog friendly bar, like patio, but it said non-reactive dogs. And so
non-reactive.
I don't really know what that means.
Like
okay?
They don't bark.
But see, that's the thing. And so we went there and Mai Tai was fine. Like he's okay. He's a good dog.
Yeah.
But there was a couple times where he started barking and it's more or less like, I see you over there and I want you to like come say hi to me or I want to come say hi to you, but I can't. So he barks. And I was so on edge because I was like, we're going to get kicked out because, I mean, listen, he's part Chihuahua. The bark is piercing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also I would need someone to explain that sign to me. I would be like, can you define what this means? Thanks. Because does it mean like,
I feel like
biting? Like dogs that don't bite. Yeah.
I feel like reactive is just like loud and doesn't do well with other dogs. That's what I would define that as, probably.
Barks constantly when it sees another dog. Because like my dad was looking at dogs and it was fine, but sometimes he would bark, sometimes he was like, whatever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I think putting him in positions like that will kind of work that out of him, right? Because it's like, if you don't want your dog, if you want your dog to behave in public, you have to take them out in public. So it's like,
yeah,
I think you were totally fine to be there.
And I know, I did. Thank you. But you know the type that you would see at Flag at a brewery. You know, it's like these like young. I want to say young, but like probably early 30s, late 20s, like. Just like vagabond sort of lifestyle with their dog that's like so well behaved that it doesn't need to be on a leash and it literally will just like sit next to you. And here's mine like wrapping himself around the table multiple times. And I'm like, oh my God, they're all judging me. Like I was sweating. Okay. And then I was like getting angry at Steve. I was like, can you eat fucking faster? Cause I want to go. Like I'm stressed.
Those people's dogs probably like live in the van with them, and they like never, you know, they probably
live in the van.
Exactly the type of person who lives in Flagstaff, like 100%. They have like a herding dog that somehow is like really well behaved, or just like
there was a lot of herding dogs.
Yeah, they love a herding dog. Yeah,
love a herding dog in Cotopaxi.
Like why?
Everybody was dressed in Cotopaxi or whatever that brand is, but it's cute.
What is that?
It's got like a llama. Cotopaxi.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It's vibes. It is. Okay. It's like a hip Patagonia.
Yeah. But like, Mai Tai is so fucking cute. I highly doubt anybody looked at him like, shut that fucking ugly dog up. Like, no. I understand how you're feeling. It's probably like the new mom in the line at the grocery store whose baby's screaming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Confirm. Okay, he's a dog. Dogs bark. It's a baby. Yeah. Babies cry. It's like, who's expecting this to never happen ever? It's like, that's weird.
Get over it.
It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah. It's like putting a sign up in the grocery store being like, only non-reactive babies welcome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
But on the way home, traffic was real bad. So a 3-hour drive turned into a 4.5, close to 5-hour drive.
Oh, that would make me very anxious.
Yeah.
And it's windy too.
It is very windy.
It is.
But it was moving at a snail's pace, so that was less scary.
Yeah. It's a nice drive though when you're during the day. During the day.
Yeah.
I can confirm.
So I was in the back seat with Mai Tai. So I did that NGL app, that not gonna lie, where you can just like have people anonymously send you stuff and answer the questions.
Oh, some of those were really funny.
Okay. I had a blast doing it. I gotta be honest. Like, I love doing that. But I got this one question that says like most pleasurable experience in the drive-thru of a McDonald's.
Didn't you say mom, go to bed?
No, that was for the you're so handsome, I have a crush on you kind of thing.
Okay.
So this app works in a way that like you don't know who's sending it, but you could pay money, but they kind of get you that way because if you pay money, you don't see who sent it. You see their location. It's like it just shows you location.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you could pay.
So this McDonald's one threw me, and I was like, I don't know what I did in a drive-through McDonald's parking lot, but I was like, college was wild. I don't know.
Someone knows what you did. Someone wants
to. They have found your Instagram as an adult.
No one has said anything. But when I was talking to my friends about this, they were like, okay, I'm donating. I'm sending you $3.50, each of them did, to pay for to view who sent that. Well, okay, so I did see that it came from Lincoln, Nebraska, so it had to have been like someone that I knew in college, but I truly can't ever tell you a time that I did anything, because the way it was worded, it seemed sexual.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything sexual in a McDonald's parking lot except for like diving deep into a Big Mac. Like that's what I did.
Well,
anyway,
everybody has your kinks.
But here's the thing is I got random ones throughout, like, oh, I have a crush on you, yada, yada, yada. And I posted everything that I got. Mm-hmm. Well, when I paid to be able to view, some of those were sent by that app. And I think that's the shittiest thing ever.
What? Like
this one that said my friend has a crush on you. They think you're so cute.
The app sent that?
The app sent it. So it like sends its own.
You're kidding.
And I was doing it for plant stuff, personal stuff, whatever. So like those crush ones, I didn't care. Like I was like, I don't know. I don't need to know who sent this, whatever. I mean, I get on my YouTube, I got that comment, choke me daddy. All right. I'm used to it. Okay.
Oh, God.
This is the thing.
He's used to it, people. He's used to it.
No.
He just hears it all the time.
But now that I see that the app sent in, I was like, the amount of people that they probably like scam money out of, because people are like, oh, I wonder who sent this.
Yeah. You know,
that made me angry. I was just like, people need to know that this is what's happening with
bullshit.
That app.
Why is the app that sending it?
That's kind of scammy, right?
It is, 100%. Yeah.
It was still really fun, though.
I think I just swallowed a lemon seed. Is a lemon going to grow in my stomach?
Probably.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It's okay. What? You're already sour.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my update.
That is your update. Well, thank you.
That's a fun update. Yeah, thanks for now every time I get a "you're cute, my friend thinks you're cute" comment on that app, I'm going to be like, it's the app.
Nice try. Nice try, app. Nice
try. That is a fun app to, I think we should do that. Like, Potted Together should do that.
Next time we're together, we should.
Yeah, and maybe, or not even. Maybe we can do it and we can make like that be like half of our monthly Patreon episode. I don't know. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Today's episode, like we said at the top of the hour, is the final episode of a Plants That Kill series. And this one was mine.
Yeah, tomorrow's Halloween, you guys. How fun.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh. Spooky.
Oh. That means I already dressed in my costume. I hope it turned out.
I hope it turned out. Otherwise, it's going to be really awkward.
Yeah. So, the plant I chose... Well, I didn't really choose it because I was searching for plants. I chose it because I remember this story, the story of Christopher McCandless, which was the guy who inspired the book and the subsequent movie Into the Wild. Mm. I think, didn't the movie have like Kristen Stewart in it?
I never watched it. I never read the book.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay, well, it struck a chord with me solely because I think in the first paragraph of the book it said Fairbanks, Alaska, and that's where I was born. So then part of me was like, I have to read this. It was so dumb. Whatever.
Hey, I get it.
But there's been a lot of talk about, like, because, you know, I don't know your feelings on him, Christopher McCandless. McCandless is his name.
Who is this? He's the writer.
Yeah, he was like a 20-something year old man that just decided to shirk society. And he was so, you know, a lot of it's polarizing because people are like, oh, he's just an unprepared idiot. And some people are like, no, like, I respect what he was trying to do. But basically sold all of his material belongings, hit the road. That's where he felt most alive and unfortunately ended up passing away in Alaska. Okay. Because of a certain plant that we're going to talk about, which is the Hedysarum alpinum. Or the wild potato plant.
Oh.
Mm.
He thought he was just eating some potatoes.
But it's a lot more complicated than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Popping in. I'm surprised that none of us picked like nightshade. Because like nightshade, I feel like is like the most popular. Like I was expecting one of you guys to pick nightshade.
Oh. That's so a real thing, huh?
I think of Nightshade and I think of Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And Sally planning her evil escape.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. See, maybe I just thought it was like a fake thing in Harry Potter or Nightmare Before Christmas. I didn't know if it was real.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, I have the Wikipedia pulled up because I was going to type my notes and write my notes, but I was like, well, I can just pull up the Wikipedia and read about this plant. And then I have stories after that, but basically the wild potato plant, it's in the legume family and it's also called the alpine sweet vetch, sweet v-e-t-c-h, and it's occurring throughout northern latitudes of northern hemisphere. So in North America it's widespread, in Canada and the northernmost United States including Alaska.
Okay,
so it's a perennial herb producing several erect stems from its caudex, and it grows about 28 inches or 70 centimeters in height. The taproot is really thick, and it has rhizomes which can produce new stems. So it's a rhizomatic, or I don't know if that's even how you say it, but plant, you know?
Okay.
Those are the ones you got to watch out for. Because like the ZZ is like a rhizome plant?
Yeah.
Is that?
I want to look it up, the plant. What did you call it? The what potato plant?
Well, it's called wild potato, but if you look at Hedysarum alpinum, so H, E, D as in dog, Y, S as in Sam, A, R-U-M and then A-L-P-I-N-U-M.
Oh.
Okay, so.
Pretty flowers.
Yeah, so it clearly it flowers a lot, pollinated by things such as bumblebees and honeybees, and the fruit is a flat legume pod, which is narrowed between the seeds.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty distinct. It generally grows in the boreal and northern temperate climates.
Mm-hmm.
It occurs in tundra and taiga habitat types, in floodplains, grasslands, and dry forests. So, like, it's pretty well adept.
Mm-hmm.
It's adept to calcareous soils as well. So that's like calcium carbohydrates, calcium carbonate soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a dominant species, but it is grown throughout, like big time in the plains and waterways in Alaska.
Okay.
So where it gets a little tricky is this isn't really known to be a poisonous plant, because this is an important source of food for all types of animals, like black bears, grizzly bears, bison, moose, caribou.
Oh, they all eat it.
Yeah. They said bears are adept at digging up the roots, the rhizomes, and that's the primary food for them. In parts of Alaska, it's a primary food for like dalles, sheep, and caribou.
Hmm.
But also native Alaskan, so indigenous peoples use this for food all the time. Like, it was a really, like, a main ingredient in a lot of food. A good source of dietary fiber. The Eskimos used to train dogs to locate stores of roots that mice had dug up and cached, which made me sad reading that, because like these little tiny mice are digging up all these little like rhizomes and like putting them away, and then here comes a dog who was like, well, thank you.
Thanks, yoink. I'll take those.
Anyway. So the wild potato is, and by all standards, like field guides, scientific journals, all of this stuff, is a safe plant to eat.
Mm.
But there are certain occasions where it's not safe.
Why?
And it's like one of those things where like factors play together, and once they hit each other, like it could be deadly, which is kind of a little more scary than like, oh, this plant will kill you, you know?
Yeah, because it's like you never know. You're like playing with fire every time.
Yeah. So the Hedysarum alpinum becomes infamous with its role in the death of Christopher McCandless. The wild potato plant was used, like I said, by many indigenous people. Many scientists deemed it non-toxic back in the 90s. It was listed safe in the field guides and probably still is. But this plant contributed to the deterioration and eventual death of Christopher McCandless. But people refute that. So it's one of those things of like, this happened. When did this happen? In the 90s?
When he died?
It was like 92.
Yes.
If I'm thinking correctly.
August 18th, okay, like, 1992.
It's still until like maybe a decade ago was still being debated on what caused his death, because his official cause of death is starvation.
Oh.
Which is somewhat true. But anyway, the author of the book Into the Wild, his name is John Krakauer. Uh-huh. I don't know how to pronounce that, so I'm sorry, but
I don't either.
He stumbled upon Christopher's story because he was part of a magazine that told him they needed to write an article about this, like about this man's life, about his death in the Alaskan wilderness alone, all of this stuff. So what he wrote in his first article is that Christopher likely ingested the seeds of the wild sweet pea, which is another plant in the Hedysarum family, but it's Hedysarum mckenzii, and it's mentioned that this plant is very hard to distinguish from the wild potato plant. So the sweet pea, the wild sweet pea, is poisonous, and the field guides and stuff mention like you really need to make sure which one you're looking at before you eat it, just so you know you're safe. And Christopher had field guides with him, and all of these mentioned that they did look very similar. And yeah, so John Cracker. Sounds like I'm saying cracker. Cracker. Joe Dirtte. He mentioned that there is possibly little chance that Christopher mixed those up, given that he was pretty knowledgeable, mm-hmm. or at least was looking through a field guide. So, like, he would know. He was looking at a field guide of the exact plants in that area of the country. So, like, he was seemingly prepared, but whatever.
So, because I've never seen Into the Wild or read the book, he literally decides to cut off everybody and just go live in the woods.
Yeah, I mean, so that was prior to, like, phones and stuff. And I think that he, like, had some sort of money from his family, and he just donated it. Sold all of his belongings and just, like, hit the road.
Just got a wild hair one day and decided to do this?
Yeah, but I think he did it for, like, multiple years. It wasn't just, like, he just went to Alaska and then had died. Like, I think, from what I read, and I didn't dive too much into him and his personal story, but it feels like he was just, like, wanting to shirk society and how it was functioning as a whole. Like, why do we need mm-hmm. to do these things? Why do I have to go have a job? Why do I have to work? Why do I have to do this? Like, mm-hmm. you know,
so he was pretty much foraging for survival and, like, hunting. Okay.
So the wild potato plant became, like, a staple in his diet. And there is photos of, like, his camp, because he documented his whole thing with a journal, with photos. He had a camera. There are photos of, like, gallon bags of the seeds of the wild potato plant, like, around his campground. Mm. But eventually this plant that was deemed safe would be the real cause of his death, even though it's listed as starvation. Lots of people disagree still with the theory that the wild potato caused his death. But, I mean, the evidence is there. So that's what I really loved reading about this, because it's kind of fun to, like, see all this evidence. So,
yeah.
July 30th, he wrote in his journal, "Extremely weak, fault of potato seeds, much trouble just to stand up, starving, great jeopardy." Before that journal entry, there was zero indication in his writings that he was in trouble, but his photos show that he had grown alarmingly gaunt. He survived on a very marginal diet of, like, squirrels, porcupines, small birds, mushrooms, berries, just, like, hunt and forage, you know?
Yeah.
So he was functioning off of, like, a huge caloric deficit, and by adding wild potato seeds to his diet, he made the mistake that took him down. But this is where it gets a little more complicated. So the author of the book, in his first article, attributed his death to the wild sweet pea. But then there was, like, the wild potato seeds is what killed him.
Because he wrote that in his journal. And that's the only way they knew.
So after the article came out, because the author of the book said he was working on a tight deadline, he decided to dive at more of the evidence when he wrote the book Into the Wild. He sent the seeds off to the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, received a preliminary report stating that the seeds contained an unidentified alkaloid. Okay. The things I don't really understand.
Mm-hmm. What's an alkaloid?
I don't know, but apparently that's usually what poisonous things are.
Okay.
Nicole, are you giving us a fact check?
Yeah.
Nicole whips over to her laptop.
An alkaloid is any class of naturally occurring organic nitrogen-containing bases. They have diverse and important I can't say that word, but it's a really easy word to say, and that embarrasses me. Effects on humans and other animals. Well-known.
Is it psychedelic?
No.
Physiological. Yeah, that's a word.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well-known alkaloids include morphine, quinine, ephedrine, and nicotine.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
Okay, sorry to take over that.
No, that's okay.
I had to know.
So the why is that word so freaking hard for me? The preliminary report said that there was this unidentified alkaloid. And so when John wrote the book, he identified that, which, you know, this is like, okay, you took a little liberties here, sir. But he identified it as Swainsonine, which is a toxic agent known to inhibit glycoprotein metabolism in animals, leading to starvation. So probably a little, that was the first edition of the book. I wonder if he's updated this book, because it did say that was a first edition. So I wonder, as they've gotten more information, if they just keep updating it.
Yeah.
Which then would make that first edition probably pretty pricey in the book market, huh?
Yeah.
So when the final complete analysis of the seeds was completed, the report stated there was no trace of Swainsonine or any other alkaloids. So basically, the guy doing the testing on it said, there's nothing poisonous about any of these seeds. I would eat this entire thing and be fine. Which is true.
Interesting.
But John was haunted by this because he was certain that Christopher knew what had caused his death, given that July 30th entry that was like extremely weak because of the potato seeds. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, since he was digging into this guy's life, one of those things where he probably like started to admire or like revere him and didn't want to see him. Cause a lot of people were just like, this guy was just stupid. Like he did something really stupid. He was unprepared and he died and that's his own fault. Mm-hmm. But the author is more like, I don't think he was stupid. So I think it's always been something that's been like, it was like him trying to solve a crime when people just wanted to be like, it's done. He was an idiot. But the guy was like, he wasn't.
I mean, if you look at the photos of him online, the Christopher McCandless guy, he does look like a skeleton. Like he looks like his face is kind of sunken in, but he looks happy and like he looks like, yeah, like I caught another porcupine today, kind of, you know, like there's a lot of photos of him with wildlife and like, so if if he died of starvation, which, okay, I could see that.
Wouldn't that was like the last, I think that was the last photo of him too. If you're looking at one where he's like sitting in front of a bus, yeah, on the side of the bus.
Oh, that's creepy. Oh, okay.
Ooh.
I just think like it's kind of weird for him to pinpoint the potato seeds as why he's feeling the way he is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and it's probably because like he had a different diet of other things. So like, maybe he was like, oh, this is what I just recently ate and that's making me feel really bad. Okay. But crack air. I think it was like 2012, stumbled upon this paper written by this guy named Ronald Hamilton. In 2012, I believe it was, the author of the book stumbled upon this paper written by Ronald Hamilton. It was called The Silent Fire, ODAP and the Death of Christopher McCandless. I think there was like, it was on a message board about Christopher McCandless. Like I think he has some sort of cult following or not like cult as in that way, but in a lot of people are interested in the story because it just doesn't seem like what the final answer was or what the official answer was is actually what happened. Mm-hmm. So Ronald, who was a writer, but working as a bookbinder at the Indiana University of Pennsylvania Library, deduced that the wild potato plant is highly toxic in and of itself, contrary to like all other scientific evidence. And the toxic agent turns out to be an amino acid and not an alkaloid, because all of the studies of like the toxicity of it were based on alkaloid studies and not amino acids. Ronald's hunch of how Christopher died was derived from his knowledge of a World War II concentration camp in Ukraine called Vapniarka. So this is where it gets a little, well, obviously sad, but also interesting to like tie these two things together. So in 1942, an experiment was done at this concentration camp with the inmates, and they made them bread from the seeds of the grass pea. Okay, so this is a common legume that has been known since the time of Hippocrates to be toxic. Very quickly, deadly, almost. So a doctor understood what this implied. So like at the camp, but basically when they started feeding this bread to the prisoners, it started to like basically paralyze them. Like their legs stopped working. Mm. They were basically kind of crawling around to get places. So it's been estimated that in the 20th century, more than 100,000 people worldwide were permanently paralyzed from eating grass pea.
Wow.
Which is like insane.
That's nuts.
That's horrible.
So the substance in the grass pea is a neurotoxin called beta N oxalyl alpha beta. Yada, yada, yada. Basically, it's called ODAP is what they call it. O-D-A-P. It affects different people, different sexes, and even different age groups in different ways. It affects people within those age groups differently as well. So the one constant about ODAP poisoning, however, is those that will be hit the hardest are always young men between the ages of 15 and 25 and who are essentially starving or ingesting very limited calories, who have been engaged in a heavy physical activity, and who suffer trace element shortages from meager, unvaried diets.
Oh, which is this guy exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, this is kind of like where I ended my research-ish, but basically because he didn't have a varied diet. He was suffering from malnutrition just because of what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he ate these seeds that ended up paralyzing him to where he couldn't move. And then that's where he died of starvation.
Wow.
Okay.
Which is really sad. So they took the seeds of, after this was found out, like that this guy was certain that he had read this study from this concentration camp, and he was certain that like that's how Christopher McCandless died. Then the author took the seeds of the wild potato plant and had them sent to another university to have them tested for ODAP, and it was ODAP, and it was concluded that the amount of ODAP by weight of concentration of the seeds was well within the levels known to cause lathriism, is what it was called. So basically where you start to get paralyzed.
Mm. Oh, and then because of that, he couldn't forge or hunt anymore. So he pretty much withered away.
Yeah.
Mm. Ugh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So like you have this plant that everything and everybody says is like fine to eat, but under this specific condition of you're a young man between these ages, you
weigh this amount.
Yeah. And you don't have like a varied diet, because people said it's still like, some of the scientists said it's okay to ingest ODAP because we probably eat things that have ODAP in it. But when we have a varied diet, it's fine. Like it doesn't cause any issues. But if the majority of your diet was those wild potato seeds,
yeah,
then it's going to start causing issues, which is kind of insane to think about. I don't know.
And he had a lot of bags around, right? Isn't that what they said? They found a lot of bags around his camp.
Yes. And if you go to where the bus is, because I think it is still in Alaska, like as a memorial, they said there's wild potato growing everywhere.
Really?
Oh. That's kind of eerie that like the very thing that killed him is like growing in abundance around his van. So was he like driving the van around, or was it like he was just using it as a shelter?
He was using it as a shelter, and I think he was used as a shelter for like hunters and that kind of stuff. And that's okay. Eventually who found him 3 weeks. They think it was 3 weeks after he died. Like there was some moose hunters looking for shelter, and they went in and they saw a sleeping bag, but they said it smelled like rotting food, but then they found the body.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. That is honestly such a fear.
People visit this bus. I don't know if I could do that.
What's a fear? Just like being dead?
Yeah.
Or like alone?
Like happening upon someone who died. Oh. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen. Okay, so I guess we've been talking about death, but, you know, trigger warning here. But I've seen some, like, crime scene cleanup videos and, like, not like they're showing it, but they'll talk about it and, like, what happens. And, like, One of them said that your hair just like detaches from your skull and it just falls off. Like it literally, oh, like the skin, like a wig, it'll just like peel off after a certain amount of time or something. And I was like, how is that possible? Because, you know, some of the mummies from Egypt still have their hair. So I'm confused about that. Yeah. But yeah.
Maybe it's because they've reinforced it somehow.
Yeah, I have no clue. And then like all of the liquid from your body, like, you yeah, know, drains out. And which then I also gross. I also heard that like dogs will hold out on eating you for like weeks, but cats will wait like a day and they'll eat you. Sorry, Adam.
Taylor Swift is screwed, bro. She's screwed.
No, but for real though, someone sent me this thought? Because it was on TikTok, and maybe you yes, saw the same thing, but like they were talking about different breeds and they said golden retrievers almost never ate their owners.
Yes, which is so sweet. Like that's a green flag.
Yeah.
Cats will just eat you.
Did they say breed would, like what breed of dog does? I don't know. I guess they wouldn't have that data. Probably not.
I can't remember, but I feel like I remember talking about labs, but.
Labs do.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Golden retrievers not eating you is so accurate. Like, yeah, that yeah. feels so accurate. But
true,
cats,
true
like.
True to the breed.
I 100% would not put it past cats. Okay, cats are honestly still kind of wild animals, in my opinion. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they've been domesticated as much as dogs have. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Cats, they don't care.
Because,
and
like,
they're so
like,
self-sufficient. They're like,
also,
they
where
are.
Do they start?
You're there.
There's
so
colonies. Exactly. There's, like, colonies of wild cats in, like, many, many places. And they just hunt and live. Like, so crazy. Dogs could never.
Okay. Honestly, for as much as I like true crime and scary stuff, I could not be, like, in forensics or, mm-mm, like, a detective who shows up to crime scenes. I could not do it.
Yeah, me either.
I don't have, mm-mm, the stomach for that. Shockingly
well,
enough. But that was a anyway, good story. That was so sad.
I know it is sad because I don't know. It's wild to think like if that wouldn't have happened, like what would he have done? What would his life be like? I think he would be in like his 50s or 60s now.
Yeah.
But it's sad because like he knew that something was going on, but like couldn't really. I mean, obviously he knew it was a potato seeds. That's what he wrote in his journal. But oh,
that is wild.
Yeah, because he was born in 68, so he would have been still young. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you, Adam, for
yeah, that was
putting together this research and sharing this story.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
I was going to be like, that was fun, but no. But yeah, you should watch the movie. I mean, I think it was, I don't remember the last time I saw the movie, but I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Into the Wild. You talked about Kristen Stewart being in. Is it 2007?
Yes. I'm right in there saying is, that Kristen Stewart was in it, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
She was. Mm-hmm. There's another movie that kind of is reminding me of this. It's called, I think, Without a Trace. And it's this father and daughter who live. Oh, wait, no, it's not Without a Trace. That's like some. Okay, hold on. What is that movie called? I saw it when I was in college. Huh. Okay, if anybody knows what it's called. It
tell
wasn't
me a bit
like
more.
A
father
big
and daughter.
Movie. Okay, so it's a father and daughter who live, I think, like in a national park in Portland. And that's all I remember. But it's just of their life there, like running from, I guess, like police or national park officers or something. Because you're not allowed to live there. And so they're like hiding their life. And I think she might have to go to school because they like find out she's not in school or something. And her dad
is it called
was
Leave No Trace.
That sounds familiar. I was going to say Without a Trace, but it's something Trace. Hold on. Let me look.
I've never heard of it.
A park in Portland, Oregon, when a small mistake derails their lives forever. Father and daughter relationship outdoor. Oh, that's yes. Just keywords.
That's what it is. Yeah. Anyway,
leave no trace.
Similar vibes. But they don't like die because they're, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Similar vibes. Wild.
I want to watch this movie. Not, I think I'm going to go watch
I
it.
I would not survive.
I wouldn't either.
I got to be honest. I can't even eat things off of a bone. So having to kill an animal and then eat them.
Yeah.
Absolutely
eat
not.
Eat things off of a bone. Oh my God. I took the meat off of a rotisserie chicken the other day to make some soup, and that was not fun. It was fun.
It's so good, though.
Nothing made me feel more like a carnivore, but it was so good. I love dark meat, that like dark meat off of a chicken. Yeah. You know what's a funny thought?
The dark meat's my favorite.
It's so good. And you know what's gross about that is there's like blood in the dark meat. So that's why it tastes more hearty, which is like, I'm a carnivore. Okay.
I mean, we eat medium rare steak, baby. It's bleeding.
No. I know.
I can't do the meat. I have, it has to be well done for me, but my kid.
Really? She, ooh, I cannot do a well done.
She likes it mooing. She likes
it mooing. I cannot see pink. I cannot.
Really? I am but so to be honest, surprised.
I don't really even eat meat anymore, so
yeah because I mean
the substitutes are like they're slapping, but then I'm gonna find out that I'm gonna grow like a fourth nipple.
You're eating too many soybeans, sir.
Too much soy. Yeah.
Okay, real quick though about the soy, I'm gonna call bullshit on that. I think that's Big Dairy. I gotta be honest. Not a huge conspiracy theorist, but I think Big Dairy makes us feel like soy is bad because literally dairy. In Asian Big cultures, dairy. their diet is mostly soy. Mm-hmm. And are they growing man boobs? No.
Yeah, you're right.
So Big Dairy was like, oh, I'm gonna tell these men that they're gonna grow boobs. And then you had the whole Got Milk campaign.
Right.
Which was like, okay, so look, true. And I still
which
drink
died out
milk.
Pretty quickly.
So I'm just gonna say it. And then have you guys noticed recently that there's more milk commercials, i.e. Aubrey Plaza talking
is
about
there?
Milking like a tree. And she's like, how do you even milk a tree? I don't know. And it was all drink milk.
No, Big I don't
Dairy
remember
is,
that. Big Dairy is on
Big
the
Dairy.
Prowl.
It's a whole thing.
Big Dairy.
I'm not kidding, though. I really do
Big
think
Pharma.
There is something with the dairy. I truly do. Those people are making tons of money.
Yeah, they are. They are.
They're making tons of money. Government subsidies. There's stores of government cheese in Missouri. Like,
Becca's laughing because she buys milk in bulk at Costco.
Okay.
Sam's.
This is actually
funny. So do I. I cannot eat cereal without cow's milk. I'm just going to be honest. I love it.
No, same. Like, I am a cow's milk girly, and I'm sorry. I will do an oat milk latte, but I will not do.
Oh, for sure. Coffee?
An oat milk cereal.
No, but cereal?
Have you tried oat milk in your cereal?
Have
you
tried it? And it's just... It ain't right.
No, it ain't right.
Have you tried almond milk?
No, gross as
ain't
well.
Right.
Gross.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Also,
there's
Nicole,
a texture.
Let's think about this financially. Do you know how much like a quart of almond milk costs? I'm going to go through
you
that
guys
in
eat
days
a lot of,
in my cereal.
You eat a lot of cereal, yeah. We don't eat cereal.
Yeah, it's Count Chocula season, okay?
Yeah. And
it is.
It's just not, it's not going to happen for me. Like... Okay, and here's the thing. I don't have any sort of reaction to dairy, so why should I not drink it? Like,
well,
it just doesn't
I
make
guess
sense.
That's true.
Right? Like, I,
have,
I feel like dairy
I have
has
a lot
been
of reactions.
Demonized. Yeah,
lot of
see,
reactions.
if you okay. have reactions, but if you, it's like gluten. Okay, there was this whole campaign against gluten. If you don't have a reaction to gluten, it's a good thing to eat. Like, just eat the bread. Like, you know, it's just there's so much goodness in dairy if you can eat it, or if you're vegan, there's other things that you can supplement, obviously. But like,
yeah,
I don't know. Hey, I am gonna get on my pedestal for cow's milk sometimes. I'm not gonna.
You know, and that's the thing is
it's
like,
not my brand.
I got nipples, Greg. Will you milk me?
I got nipples, Fokker.
Oh, Fokker.
Can you milk me? No, but really. I think I truly Big Dairy
is up to something.
Is trying to get soy killed is what's happening. Okay.
Just the concept Big Dairy is so funny to me.
That's gonna be the next Netflix documentary. Watch.
Oh, truly. Big Dairy. They've done some Netflix documentaries about, you know, the treatment of cows and stuff, which is really unfortunate. Like
Yeah.
Food Inc. destroyed me.
Well, Me too. I stopped eating for probably for like good 3 years. I stopped eating meat.
9 months. All meat. For me, 9 months.
Yeah.
But you know, here's the issue with cow's milk a little bit. Again, coming from someone who literally has one in their fridge and I've been drinking it.
You have a cow in your fridge?
I didn't. I'm an idiot because I didn't put together the fact that they're force impregnating these cows so yes. they can constantly milk them. Because yeah. in my mind, I was like, oh, cows just always have milk. I didn't think about it in the fact of like, no, they only have milk because they're pregnant. Having babies.
Yeah.
So like, they're keeping them pregnant.
Yeah, for like keeping them
barefoot
over pregnant and over and over
they're
again.
They're knocking them out.
Yeah. So that's where I start. If I start thinking about that too much, I get a little sad. And then I'm like, well, maybe I should stop drinking it. So
I know. See,
but I just can't do the almond in my cereal.
Okay.
I'm like, Becca's like, I hate milk.
I'm never drinking milk again.
What about I've gone soy? Like vanilla soy milk in your cereal?
Gross.
So good. No,
I would rather not have cereal than use a milk alternative in my cereal.
Okay, we need to open up. See, we need to open up this conversation over on Instagram, guys. We're not going to talk spooky. We're talking cow's milk.
We're talking milk.
This is when Potted Together gets canceled.
I know.
Okay. We're going to get canceled for this. But like, I don't know. It's hard, you know.
One of the joys of cereal eating for me is drinking the milk afterwards. 100%. Okay.
No.
Literally one of my favorite things.
Yes.
And I can eat cereal with one of these substitutes, mm-hmm. but I will never drink the milk yes. left over. I will absolutely never. I won't really enjoy the cereal eating either because it tastes a little weird, mm-hmm. but the milk left over, will not drink it. And that makes me sad because I usually look forward to that.
Yeah.
I see, this might explain it. I am a
Midwest boy.
I'm a just dash of milk in my cereal kind of girl. It can, my cereal uh-huh. cannot be soggy. If a piece of cereal gets soggy, down the toilet.
Okay, wait.
And I'm not drinking that milk. I
you
am
dump
not
the cereal,
drinking.
You dump the cereal in the toilet?
If it gets it? Soggy, yes.
Daniel toilet? Does that, and it grosses me out to no end.
Oh, trash day, we always just empty the leftovers into the toilet and flush them.
What?
Potty wow, that's yeah. interesting.
For two reasons this week.
You don't? Do you have a garbage disposal?
Yeah. Okay. When what I say we, mean? I meant when I was growing up. I don't do that now as a human.
Oh, okay.
I throw it into the trash can.
Okay.
But
see.
But also, that's kind of genius, flushing it, like if it's flushable.
Like, I don't think so, though.
Well, I mean, you're shitting flushable. In the toilet.
Yeah, but poop is like yeah. water soluble at some point. It'll break down just with water. Like
okay,
food?
True.
Like I'm just thinking of clogs. I'm not thinking about the environment. I don't know what the environmental
that bubble gum
are.
I swallowed isn't water soluble. So,
or that corn.
That corn, the survival.
You always know
survivor vegetable.
Corn.
You always know. There's evidence.
Daniel just texted me. Grosses me out to no end. Because he heard me say that about the cereal.
Oh
no, it's because I can yeah. hear the chunks plopping into the toilet and it sounds like someone's throwing up. It grosses me out. I can't do
okay
it.
That does it does gross me out too, but like okay, how do you discard soup that's been that you're not going to eat? You
okay,
can't throw that in the trash.
On. We are really getting into like our weekly Patreon brave yet controversial territory with this.
Yeah, okay.
So sorry, but I do want to ask, like, what is the process of you deciding to dump your cereal down the toilet?
Because
or Daniel's like, how do you even, like, you're eating it and you're like, oh, I don't like this anymore. And you walk to the bathroom and throw it in the toilet?
Exactly. Yes. I have never done that.
That's okay, the weirdest shit I've ever
see, heard. See, this is pre-garbage disposal. So now I put it in the garbage disposal. But you can't throw, yes, you can't, well, I don't really eat cereal. So it's been a while.
You don't drink cow's milk, you know, it's
well,
just not
okay.
the same.
Okay, it's about the liquid compartment to the meal.
Yeah,
you can't put that in the garbage can because what if there's a hole in the trash bag? Then you're leaking that shit all the way to the trash can.
Right, no liquid in the trash can ever. Yeah.
Okay.
I
so
agree
it's
with that.
It's the garbage disposal, but if you don't have a garbage disposal, it's the toilet bowl.
Okay.
See, like I might just like fish out the individual pieces of cereal into the trash.
You're fishing what out of the toilet?
I'm fishing. That's interesting. That is interesting.
Isn't that why you have like that little basket in your sink though to catch those chunks so then you can just dump in the trash?
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Okay.
I mean, but then again, like, not in defense of the toilet thing, but it is just like a lot easier to just like dump and flush, and then you just don't have to worry about.
Okay,
and it's soggy cereal, so you're not getting clogs.
Sometimes he just makes too big of a bowl of cereal. Sometimes that
never.
Happens.
I have never heard of that.
Well, see,
I mean, that's blasphemy.
Or if it tastes weird. There's this one, you know that cereal? I think it's like... Okay, Daniel, get in here. Why? Okay, no, actually, he's holding Sleeping Nora. I'll have to figure out why he does it, because he just texted me and said, I never make too big of a bowl. I don't understand why he does it then. Anyway.
Is he just sitting right outside the door being like, fact-checking you with her?
Yeah, no, I'm like in the room right next to him, and our house does not have very good noise canceling, so I guess okay. I won't be talking badly about Daniel ever again on the podcast.
He'll just have to become a patron.
That's right. All right, friends, well, we're gonna end this episode because we're creeping on 1 hour and 20 minutes, so yeah. Thank you for joining us. If you like more of this chaotic end of this episode, you'll love our brave yet controversial tier.
Yeah, you will.
And did he have a reason? Daniel's entered the chat.
Okay, Dan, I was kidding about talking bad about you, but what is a reason that you would need to put your cereal down the toilet? Because you've done it.
I have done it before.
But why?
Because you can't put it in the trash. Because the sink's full of dishes.
Okay, answer quickly. We gotta go. We're trying to end the episode here.
Oh, I don't know.
Because you made too much.
No, I never make too much.
Okay.
You never can have too much food, you know? Like, that's why we got those big bowls, you know?
Because it tastes funny. The milk went too...
I think it's
because
there are certain cereals I cannot eat a lot of. You know, that's what it is. There are certain cereals I cannot eat a lot of, like...
Too much sugar?
Yeah, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch? No. Can't do it.
Okay, but then it still stands that you make too much, and that's why you're dumping it out.
So you made too much.
Cheerios, sometimes I cannot eat a lot of Cheerios.
Okay, so yeah, you make too much sometimes.
Depending on the specific cereal.
You're not going to lose your man card for not being able to finish your meal. Okay,
The Lucky Charms. Oh. You never have too much Lucky Charms. All that one cereal never. That makes, you know, the pee smell weird.
Yeah, there's this one cereal that, like, when he eats it, his pee smells like that cereal.
And we were just talking about this pee.
Honey, is it Honey Oats?
Honey Oats? I don't know.
Yeah. Honey Buns.
This. This...
It looks like a coffee bean, but it's like anyway.
Look, everybody has their kinks, but I'm just saying, we spent the brave yet controversial talking about pee, and there was some video talk, and now you know certain foods that make it smell a different way, so, like, you know, to each their own.
We've all learned a lot this week on Potted Together.
We've talked a lot about
educational. We're an educational podcast
this week. Okay. Okay, we gotta wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Follow us on Instagram at Potted Together, individually at NotDude, at My Clean Leaves is Nicole, at De La Plants is Becca. Patreon. We have a monthly Patreon and a weekly. Both real fun, so check us out over there. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Wait, we also just came out with a button for our Brave Yet Controversial homies.
So button.
We did.
Yeah, it's a cute little button.
It's cute.
Check it out on our website.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.